Assalamu alaikum. This is your beloved brother, Raj Muhammad, live on your Block Talk Radio, coming to you at 7 o'clock p.m. It gives me great privilege, brothers and sisters, and surely I am highly honored to do so. I have to say it was one lovely weekend, I'm quite sure, for everyone out there in radio land for Thanksgiving. And a lot of people ask questions, and surely the questions have came to me, what are we thankful for? Well, you should look in the mirror. If you can see yourself, you are alive. And the idea that you are alive, you should thank God. Now, some of us are ill, and some of us have done so much wrong, we don't even want to see ourselves. And some of us care not to understand why you're able to see that reflection, because that's all it is, a reflection. But in order for you to see, because there are some people cannot see, but so elated that they are alive. Isn't it amazing that if you just go down the street and knock on the door to the next neighbor, you'll find out that they're doing worse than you are. And sometimes we don't understand that anything that happens that's not your fault is the will of God. And anything that happens because of your fault, don't give that to God. You have a right to destroy yourself. You got a right to ignore yourself. You have a right that just practically, brothers and sisters, don't give a damn. You have that right. God gave you that right. It's the simple things that we don't grasp and we don't understand. You know, you have to go through life to experience what life is all about, and maybe you will grasp that understanding. You will come to the final understanding that this is a temporary world and you must struggle to get through it. How old are you? Are you 50 years old? Oh, that was a lot of struggling. How about 60 years old? Yes, you struggle harder than those who are 50 because they have to live a little longer to become 60. But it doesn't stop. Time don't wait on you. Now you're 70. How about if you're 80? If you're alive, brothers and sisters, because only God is in charge. He's in control. No one else can will life, and surely no one else can will death. Isn't that amazing? If you don't believe that, go and do your homework. Study a little bit. Go in the library. They have planes have crashed, literally fell out the sky and crashed. And if it was 300 people on the plane, everyone was dead except a little child. Whether it was a boy or a girl, it walked away from the crash. You see, it was written that plane was going to go down. And we who live suffer worse than those who left. Because there's no pain in coming here and there's no pain in leaving here. For when you come in your mother's womb, you're in paradise because why? You are not alive. You are being made in the womb because the angels have the right to give you legs and give you feet and give you hands and give you an arm so those hands could go on it. Yes, they ask God, should they give you all these things? And God wills it, and it happens. But until you come out of that womb and breathe in the air, the spirit, in which God wants you to live as a human being, he gives you a soul. But your soul is not in that womb. You're being prepared to be able to enter this world in your soul and in the spirit that God has breathed in your father through his nostril. What was life? His spirit. And what did he do? He existed. So isn't that amazing that man shoots that sperm into the female and there'd be thousands, plural, thousands. No, I'm sorry. I'm wrong. Millions of life germs is shooting to that egg. And they fight to get there. And some of them die. Because it's only normal that one gets in. But they all fighting to get there so they can live on, because if they don't reach that oval and they don't get in that egg, it's dead. All that waste and that those sperms that's trying to get in sits in the female. Clearly, there's nothing that man created that can clean her internally. So what is it? Allah purifies her. It's called a monthly. Some call it a menstrual. Whatever you want to call it, it is actually blood. Blood keeps you alive for the vital organs. That keeps you alive. But what helps them vital organs to keep the brain, keep the body, to keep you alive? It's the heart that pumps the blood to every vital organ. Isn't that amazing? Did you do it? Are you doing it? Do you know how it's done? You don't know. Pretty much you don't even care. But if you would just check your internal organs and watch how it operates, my God, would you be amazed? Because that's the will of God. You can't control your heart. Oh, you can be emotional. That happens. Oh, my heart, I'm so emotional. You can be cold-blooded. Is that your heart? I don't think so. See, what makes you cold-blooded, calculate? What makes you get away from your nature, your ancestry, the nature of the cross? That is called your nature, which you refer to as being your nature, which God has given. Once you get away from that and get away from what you was created to be, you can't blame that on the vital organ. You can blame that on your intellectual mind. Because what you allow to go inside that is who you want to be. So if you want to be a dog, then you think like a dog. You want to be a liar, you have to think like a liar. You want to be an unproductive individual, you have to think that. If you want to be just abusive or evil or backstabber or hypocrite, you just choose to be that. Yes, you have a right to choose. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala glorifies name, gave you a right to do so. You know, I listen to people. Yes, I do. And I don't waste a lot of time listening, but I like to hear what one is thinking. And I realize, conclusion, that we are not speaking to the intellectual mind. That's what's messed up. Yes, you may have a kidney problem, but it don't rule your mind. You may have a liver problem, but it doesn't rule your mind. You can have a sex problem. It doesn't rule your mind. But the mind rules all of it. Isn't that amazing? That little big head, we call it big head for a figure of speech. But it's the littlest thing on the whole body. But it rules. Look how powerful it is. You know, the old fame by the Negro's song is a mind is the worst thing to waste. Yes, it's a gift. It's a gift from God. And he didn't make it compulsory, meaning you don't have to do right. Why? You don't even have to accept God. But you have a choice to make, because if you make the wrong choice, you're going to pay. You're going to pay in this world. You're going to pay in the hereafter. But we all should beg God. We all should beg God and ask God to forgive us, because that's the only way you're going to be forgiven. Now, you can go to that Catholic church and you can spill your guts to that individual that you're listening to. You can call him father. You can call him priest. You can call him reverend. You can call him whatever you want. But he's just as human as you are. And therefore, you make him unhuman. You want to believe that spilling your guts to him and telling him all your business is going to help you. No. He don't know you. Isn't that amazing? He does not know you. And because he doesn't know you, he wants you. Isn't that amazing? He wants you to believe that he has the power or the will or the gift from God. Isn't that amazing? A gift from God to change your conditions. But he's not really interested, brothers and sisters, to change your condition. I want you to know that. He is not there for that. But what he's there for is to find out how he can get more money from you. So when you tell your story, you find yourself doing what? You find yourself obeying what a man can tell you that you ought to do, not knowing that he got the same problem you got. He loves women, and especially women that depends on him, and so he's going to abuse you all. He has that right. God gave him the right to do good or do bad. And the only time you get upset when you realize that he's been using you, then you get upset. And I've had so many females that I've talked to have reverted to Islam on the strength that they was abused. Well, someone was abused physically, but I'm not talking about that. You can always rebound from that. But when you abuse mentally, you got a major problem. Because when that head, that lower head that becomes a big head, thinks that he's everything and that he can save you, well, he gets carried away. And by him getting carried away, he's going to use your faults. Yes, he does. He uses your faults. How do he know your faults? You tell him. I mean, how's a man going to know you if you don't tell him? You see, it's like going to the doctor. See, the doctor, as you found out, has abused so many women in the Olympics. And these young girls are really finding out that they thought they was doing the right thing. Come to find out, this man was a fanatic. He was one unconcerned about somebody else's little daughter. And it's amazing. It's amazing to me that this gentleman is going to do time. But he did over 300 females. That's amazing. Then you have men got 10, 15 women in their congregation. And you say you should forgive him. Oh, hell no, you should not forgive him. You can't forgive him. Only God can forgive him. But you can't follow one that you recognize that does not care about your welfare. More or less, they care about your carfare. Now you got men in Islam. Yes, they are in our religion. And I want to talk about that tonight because we'll find out nothing changed. See, those who don't want to read the Bible, you got a problem because someone told you it was taboo. The Bible wasn't taboo, brothers and sisters. You have to understand that the Bible was permitted. See, God wills and he permits. Okay, you can't grasp that. When you do wrong, how do you do wrong? To use the limbs, and you have to use the body, and you got to use your mind that God gave you. So he permitted you to do that. He permitted you to do whatever you choose to do. That's why Satan don't like us. That's too much power. Oh, let's look at that. Why is Satan upset? Because Satan cannot do other than the will of God. You say, well, whoa, he's giving us hell. Well, he believes he's helping God. Because he said, and I quote, Lord, you gave them too much power. keep in mind, he called him Lord. And when God kicked him out of heaven, you know, the fallen stars, the angel who fell from the heaven, yes, he was up there with the angels. Because why? He was in his right state of mind. So when you're in your right state of mind, you're in heaven. Have you ever been so well somebody call you angel? I've heard men say that. My wife is an angel. Only means that you act as an angel. Well, there's another word for it, angel. But the most important thing is that you was an angel because you was doing right. Because angels don't do no wrong. They do right. But the jinn has a right to say wrong or right. The jinn, yes. But he chose to stay as an angel until we came about. Then he realized there was another side to him, a jealousy side, one that he didn't believe that God should have created us. Isn't that amazing? You should talk about that jinn. They call him Lucifer. They call him all kinds of names. But you don't study he was a creature. And that creature, brothers and sisters, have the will to think, but he can't be us. He has the will to do wrong, but he can't be us. He has the will to do things we can't do, meaning he can come to you any way he wants. He can come to you as a female, as a male. He can come to you as a cat. He can come to you as a dog. He can come any way. We can fly in. That jinn can be in the air that you breathe. That's the jinn. That's Satan. However, he asked permission. He didn't just took this on his own. He said, oh, God, give me permission to prove to you. And God said, okay. All the way to the day of our judgment. The one that jinn that's in all of us, and it's in all of us. How is it that it get in all of us? Allah willed it. He willed the jinn to be in us. Well, he did say, I will try you from the cradle to your grave. Whoa, from the cradle to our grave. Who's testing us, that jinn? Yes, he's testing you all the way to your grave. Oh, I like speaking like this because I can break all these little things down that is so simple. We make religion difficult. So the jail, as they called it, the gospel, as they called it, the Bible, whatever you want to call it, is nothing wrong with the Bible. It's your understanding of the Bible. So you got a lot of brothers that's born in Islam would not touch that Bible. But I'm here on Block Talk Radio, New Africa, Exa Enterprise, Mirage Speaks. I'm here to say to all of you out there, nothing wrong with the Bible or something wrong with your understanding of the Bible. Because man didn't give you clear understanding. But most of the Bible is good. God's words never change. And so therefore man had to make a New Testament. Because why? He had to get away from most of the Bible. The Injil was correct. It was correct. But what about the book before that? It's called what? The Torah. Now, nobody ever jumped up and said the Torah was wrong. The Torah was the first gospel to mankind. It's just that the Jews dominated it and made it Judaism. Yes, they made it Judaism, and that was their religion, but yet they learned the necessary way of serving God. I'll talk about that tonight. But the Jews got permission. Now, God had to bring Jesus in. Isn't that amazing? Jesus had to come in. Because why? They was multiplying, building a religion for themselves. God says, when you do anything for just your self-gratification, you don't have his help. But anything you do good for people, for others, you get your reward. But you don't get the reward because you're so highly intelligent that you're only for yourself. You're going to fall. I can name about 10 people within the 3 or 4 years have fell tremendously rich, wealthy men, billionaires, have fell because no moral. You got to have morals, brothers and sisters. It is tough. Yes, don't think it's easy, but it's a trial. Don't ever think it's easy. You see, I know it because I've been on a very high level. My level that God has blessed me to operate on was unbelievable. Now, I could talk about 20 different people who I've been with, but let's talk about that great man named Muhammad Ali, the greatest of all times, Muhammad Ali, able to travel the globe with him. But the most gorgeous women in the world came around him. Now, they can't get through him. He had men protecting him. It just so happened he put me at the gate. Meaning, if you got past me, you can get to Muhammad Ali. Now, I don't know why 2020 hindsight, I say, maybe did that because he saw that a lot of strength. But they were some of the gorgeous women. And they came from all walks of life. They could be Asian. They could be African. They could be Latino. They can be from the Arab world. They could be white. Kate women. And some of them had a lot of money because their family was very wealthy. The things they would do to get through me, to get through them, to Ali. I couldn't do it. That was my job. And the temptation is they would take off their clothes. And I said, you got to put them back on. Now, I didn't feel bad that they were something that they should not be. The man's job is to protect the virtue of the female. That's his job. If you love me, or you would love to have me, I should be very elated. But at the same time, God says, give them their dignity. Protect their virtue. So I came to the conclusion that if in fact, I wasn't going to maintain them. Now, let's not talk about money. Oprah got a lot of money. There's many more. Sheba had a lot of money. She'd been here before Oprah. So Khadija, the wife of Prophet Muhammad, had a lot of money. So it ain't about money. Don't ever think it's about money. It's about to protect that female. And I'm telling you, those women that came and left and came and left and came through and tried to get to Ali, I had to protect them. If I was weak, he'd have had a lot more women because they'd have got past me. But I had a job to do. But it trained my morals. And so I could see women and know women. And if I had my way, I'd have had many wives. But they say in the Quran, 2, 3, or 4. So you can't go over that. And if you do, you're on your own. You don't have God. But I have to honestly tell you that my success in the world came from females. And the only way I can sum that up, because I realize a man will push you, maybe, I said maybe, there's exception to the rule, to be equal as he is. But a man will not make you larger than he is. It's like great champions. We got a lot of them. You count on one hand who would train a fighter. They don't have time for that fighter. They don't care about that fighter going to be champ or he's not going to be champ. So they don't have no time for it. Now, there's exceptions to the rule. You know most of them. But the great trainers are the ones who did make it. Same way with a basketball player. It's very seldom do a great basketball player comes a coach. It's a very, very, it's something about we men. But that female, she'll take you to the moon. To the moon. Why? She want to look up to you. So here is it that Sarah was that woman. Yes, she was married to Abraham before he became a prophet. But Sarah knew what to tell her husband. And Khadija, she was married. I don't know how many husbands, but let's forget that. She was a widow. But he didn't come to her. It's mathematically impossible that an employee will come to an employer, especially a female, and ask him, her, well, could she marry him? I mean, it just ain't normal. So that means common sense tells you it is that female that said, I want that man. And guess what? She got him and never thought he was going to be the messenger of God. So she was very successful, and she was an entrepreneur. That raises the fact that in Islam, all women must get back. That's a myth, because it's all written in society about these women as being as powerful as they have been. Even just recently, they just made a big thing over Harriet Tubman. Now, Harriet Tubman did a lot of things a man could not do, and that was to free quite a few black men. He had no fear, even though she got killed. She didn't mind dying for what she believed in. So the women is powerful. And when they walked into my life is what I knew because of my mama was powerful. And I respected my mama. All that knowledge she had. She was an entrepreneur. But she motivated me to be everything she wanted me to be. And so I understood that. And so I could spot that female in a minute. And I could spot her ability because she is not going to hide her feelings. Care about you, she's coming. And she ain't just coming because of sex. Is that who she believes is the right one for her? So she ain't quit. That's the female. We men are being having so much pride. Will ignore. It's one thing to ignore because you have pride, because you don't think you're going to get her. It's another thing to ignore her because you believe that she's not what you want. And I tell men all the time, when you look across the room and you thought you saw her, she saw you first. She knew what she wanted. And today in Islam, you're losing your men, you say, to Christians. Well, I'm here to tell you, 99% of us was Christians before we came to Islam. So what makes her different than you? I'm going to tell you what makes you different. Because back then in the 30s, we didn't hear no Islam. We didn't even know nothing about no Islam. But yet, you knew how to go get your man. You knew how to find your husband. You knew how to be loyal to the one you wanted to be loyal to. All of a sudden now you got this long dress on and these big clothes and these headpieces that you call hijab, and nobody knows who you are, where you're from. And then when you walk, as soon as you turn the curb, it takes another second for the material to go with you. Now, there's not a black man in America that's going to try to get that. And because you ain't trying to get him, there's no marriage. There's no children. There's no. And then you got an excuse that, well, how do that Christian woman know how to get? Because she's been taught all her life. Now you want to know, how did that white woman get your man? Well, hell. She was brought up all through the time he was in slavery how to take care of her husband. They born and raised. So now they free and they can go get that black man. Well, he's going to accept because a black man do not want to be rejected. And for over 400 years, he's been rejected. Now he can have them. Shucks. He goes and get her, or she gets him, and that's why. This is only metaphor, because there's no such thing as black over white, white over black, Arab over another non-Arab. It doesn't work in Islam. Everyone is a human being. So you marry any female, they the same nature, they come out of the same earth that you came, there's nothing different but their mentality or their religion or their nationality. But as a human being, brothers and sisters, they are the same. Now I'm a little different. I just got to tell you, I'm a little different. There's no racist in me. My grandmother, who I love, when I father, I'm like Muhammad, all white folks were devils. Was smart because we thought we was inferior, and Abdullah Muhammad said, I'm going to show you not if they devils. Now, I don't care how unintelligent or how intelligent you are, how broke, how poor you may be. No one loves the devil. Everybody don't like the devil. So when we call him the devil, we found ourselves not listening to him, not trying to be like him and do for self. However, when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, before he passed away, may God be pleased with him, said, treat your brother, your sister, if they treat you like a brother and sister, and that comes in all walks of life, and get rid of those colors. You ain't in kindergarten anymore. Oh, that was a master way to get us to feel inferior to the white man. Why, we was the Asiatic black man, the maker, the owner, the cream of the planet Earth, God of the universe. Yes, God of the universe. That made us someone. We now felt like a real man. But now that you're out of kindergarten, don't judge them by the color of your skin, because the one look like you could be an enemy. So I know all of this. So if my grandma was white and she was Jewish and she come in from Russia, hey, I don't hate white people. I ain't hate my grandmother back then. But the reason why I won't marry white, is because I found out the bluebirds get along flying with the bluebirds. And the jaybirds get along flying with the jaybirds. And every bird likes to be with their own bird. Well, I come to find out that that black woman that suffered the bounds of suffering through her slavery, I owe it to her. I owe it to her to put her in the seventh heaven. So I'm not a racist. I just choose my own and love to be with my own. Now, you will find out that my own can give you a lot of hell that white woman wouldn't. She's so happy to be with you. Yes, I'll suffer with her. I'll work with her. See, in Islam, it says, your wife and children is nothing but a trial. And we don't have a clue what that means. But a trial is your wife can get on your nerves. Your wife can make you want to do things you shouldn't do. That's your trial. And suppose she got a problem. That's your trial. And if you would help her and you would assist her and you would forget some of the things she might do that she shouldn't do, that's a good husband. And God will reward you. That's your trial. So if you can't comprehend that, let's take your child. Your child ended up being a homosexual. So you going to kick that child out? If you going to abuse him because he chose to be that? Or would you help him? Tell him you would help your child. I know I would. I wouldn't down him. That's my son. He got a problem. So I'm going to try to assist him with my problem. Because God says, listen what God says, all that is good, meaning good intentions, you'll be rewarded if you didn't do it. That's how he rewards us. because the act is his. The act continues. If I say we and is, and he ain't no, he's not a homo anymore. Well, how about if you marry a woman and she's a dyke? Oh, that's the word they use today, dyke, stud, whatever you want to use. So you're going to get rid of her? You don't care nothing about her? She got a problem. And God don't place a burden on the soul that you cannot withstand, so you got to deal with that problem. That's Islam. Suppose a female go out and have sex with another man, and you caught her. You going to get rid of her? Well, how many times you went out and had sex? Oh, you don't think about yourself. She just can't do it. But there's a reason. Whatever that reason is, you have to deal with that problem. Suppose you marry a female in Elder Islam, and she's 3 months pregnant, but she didn't know it. You want to get rid of her now that she's your wife? No. God gave that baby to you. Ain't no such thing as illegitimate babies. So you have to accept it. Now, brothers and sisters, can one that claims they read this Quran and condone everything I said, they don't understand the Quran. They ain't gifted like that. They didn't come to that understanding. For Allah says in the Quran, do not touch this crown unless your heart is pure. Now, I know you touch it 1,000 times. If you've been in for 40 years, I'm quite sure at least 30 of that you done touched the crown. That's not what Allah is talking about. He's not talking about the physical touch. He's not going to let your heart touch the understanding of the Holy Quran. You know, brothers and sisters, yes, I traveled the world. I've done a lot of things on my level. And I always said I would have loved it, but I will say it. And I say Bismillah, meaning pray Allah gives me the right words to say. But I've always had a fantasy for a female that passed away. And I felt sorry because, to make a long story short, some people kept me from getting to that female. The way I felt kind of hurt that I believe I could have helped her. And all of a sudden, a female appears in my life. Look, just like her. Just like her. Oh, my God. I couldn't believe it. And believe me, if I was able, I just got married again. But I couldn't, what I'm taught, how I should conduct myself. And that young lady and I became very close. And I've always saw her heart. She was just unbelievable in what she would love to have done for me and tried to do for me. And I'll never forget her because she was always that individual that was sent to me by the angels, by the will of God. But she would disappear, and she'll come back. And she'll just, if I had to write a book, it would be a very interesting book. Why? Because of who I am. That's who I am. And some women listen, some women doesn't. It's the trial and error that we go through. So I can write about my life and my history of my life. Now, don't get me wrong. Are you saying I didn't sin? Yes, I did. We all created to sin. But if you ask me, did I beg God for forgiveness? Yes, I do. That's how I erase my sins. I beg God for forgiveness. And try not to go down that path. It's got to be a different sin. Nevertheless, it's an interesting reason. It's an interesting reason why that female was put in my life by the will of God. And boy, did we do a lot of things together according to the world. I always call her a frustrated lawyer that just wanted to do the right thing, and she had that ability. And I say that because I talk to so many females on this Blog Talk Radio, New Alpha, the Extra Enterprise. And what I'm trying to get them to understand that this is a temporary world. The only one, my sister, is going to be in your heart. Not we men in the hereafter can't choose that female. But that female can choose you in the hereafter because Allah knows her heart. And he will put him right there with you. You will know your children. You will know your parents. Everybody you love in this world, you will know in the hereafter except that man. Why? Because it could be 20 of them. But one of them, Allah knows your heart, and that's the one it will be chosen. In this world is heaven. And heaven means you should not ignore the man that you really love because your life is never going to be right. It's always going to be confusing. But there's issues today. There's so many issues today, and all basically predicated on two things, sex and jealousy. Sex. And why I say that, you can have the best sex for 3 hours. How about 2 hours? How about 1 hour? How about 3 minutes? It's all the same result. What is next? That's the key. What is next? And so there's nothing next. You know, nothing is in common. Nothing allows me to grow in the world. This world. Because did you forget? Let me shake your recollection. Whatever you do in this world, when it's over, it's gone. This is the world to get to the real world. So it's a temporary world. You're not making it by yourself in this world. You will not get the blessings that God says, who told my humans that they can't have a piece of this dunya? This is the question God asks. Well, we are created to obtain all the wealth we can obtain in this world. You say it's material. We are materialistic. Then you come from material, the dead earth. We are earthly people, so that makes us materialistic. But do not sell the hereafter for the present in the way of wrongdoing. That's all God is saying. So I can't mistreat or abuse no one because I got power. But the female been here first. It's the soul. Why, he's been in the Arabic language. Anissa, the female, she's been here first. For Allah said, I'll make for it a mate. It. So we it, brothers. This myth that man was here first and came from the rib, who would believe that? That God made a mistake and forgot Eve? Eve was here first. But Allah made him one soul. And because he made it one soul, there's no separation. You ask me who's the best female in my life is my mother. What about your second? My mother. What about the third? My mother. Or who's the fourth? My father. This is what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Well, you say you love your mother. That's good. But what about when you get married? It's one soul. You don't count nobody outside the one soul. So it's never you count whether your mother first, whether your mother second. My mother is first, and their wife's mother should be first, but we is one. This is what God is saying. Then it's a new thing. Well, how in the world could you love more than one wife? So I reverse it here on Blog Talk Radio, New Africa Extra Enterprise, LLC. I guess why we went viral, because I talk like this. This is the cry. But if I say it the way we read it, you wouldn't understand what I said. But how is it that you love four children? Tell me which one of those children you love the best. I love all my children. You doggone right. So you telling me that your heart is different than my heart? Well, let's look at it, since you can't grasp that. Let's look at it. A human being was dying. But he needed a heart transplant. They brought him a heart. Put that heart in him. And before they get ready to sew him up, now it's just a metaphor, they say, you know, that's a woman's heart. Get that woman's heart out of my chest. We're so stuck on stupid. There's no different in the human being's heart. You made it male. You made it female. They're a human being. So the heart beats the same way your heart beats. Sends blood to every vital organ. And our heart says, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. You can say Jesus Christ. You can say Jehovah, whatever. And our heart says God is great. Because it submits to the will of God. Not to you, to the will of God. So there's no different heart. So what makes you love better than I love? Oh, I have femininity in me. So do I. Because if I didn't, there's no way I can rule to be all masculine, destructive, bold, and aggressive, and destroy everything. You got to be sensitive. That's the female in the male. Likewise with the male, female. She got masculine in her. I know some of y'all got too much. And some of us got too much female in them. But you cannot change God's creation. He makes no mistake. Stop giving this to God. This is your choice that you want to change your gender. Hey, you have a right. But God makes no mistake. He brought you in here as a female, and you will leave here as a female. He brought you as a male, and you will leave as a male. But he says, I don't place a burden on a soul that which it cannot withstand. So it's a burden we have. So I say to these females today, I don't need no man. Somebody says smack you. Now, I don't mean that physically. So when you look in the Quran that says smack your wife lightly, there's nothing in the Quran that's physical. Take those physical things out of your mouth, out of your mind. Dig a little deeper and find out he meant society is a female. And when you speak to her, smack her with your knowledge like a feather, lightly, meaning you're bold, you're aggressive, so you don't holler at her, and you don't stand up over her, and you don't try to want to do what she'll do to you because that man will come out of her. You don't believe that? Go get to her baby. Get past her husband and think you got her. She'll stab you in the eye and everything else to save her baby. That's the masculine in that female. But we do the proportion. You know when to be who you're supposed to be, that you're created to be at all times until someone comes and changes that. And there's another side. And these things happen. So we have a right to be heavenly. We have a right to be spiritually. We have a right to be duty proportion and loving people. And we have a right to be evil as hell. But the right is God. The hell is what you chose. Temporary heaven for permanent hell. So we say with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, the Lord of all the worlds, we thank Allah for giving us the mercy and mercy in Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. We salute him with the excellent salute. The salutation of that salute is, may the peace and blessing be upon the Prophet and his sinners and his companion. Surely Allah Almighty speak the truth. We say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbi al-Adameen. Wa sa'asa wa salam wa sabasu al-Kareem. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sadaqallah wa deen. Now, I say those Arabic words because we have a lot of brothers that's knows the Arabic language of the Quran, but it's really referred to Arabic. But it's okay to say the Arabic language of the Quran because it's so close to the Arabic language of some of the most unintelligent people that was on the face of the earth. So Allah had to raise one up from amongst them that spoke their language. And this is the problem I'm having. Why did Allah create the prophet through the womb of his mother? Then removed the seed that was planted was his father, so he didn't know him. And the mama passed away while he was still sucking the breast. So he had three or four mamas to show you that every woman has the same milk coming out of her breast. Why? She's a human being. So everyone has that. But it also made him an orphan, so those who don't have mothers and fathers would not feel bad that one grew up just like you, became the messenger of God to all of us. We can't call him our messenger. We didn't send him with no message. But he can't come to Allah as a prophet. He comes to Allah as a slave servant. He's obedience to God. And so therefore, he's his messenger and a prophet to us because he comes and prophesies what God has taught him to prophesy to us. Simple. Put it in proper perspective so you understand it. So you don't give the prophet more than who he is. Tell him, Muhammad. That's the last thing he told the prophet. Tell them you are mortal human being just like them. So it means he's just like us. So therefore, he has no nationality. He never accept one because no one taught him. He didn't have a mother and father team. So get that out your head that he's an Arab. Only those who choose to say he's an Arab is because they are an Arab. They want you to think that God made an Arab. Now, God is the creator of the heavens and the earth, will create a nationality that you all in the Arab world have called what? Arab? I don't think so, because the Chinese should be upset. Yes, all of the brothers from Africa should be upset. Yes. And all the Caucasians should be upset. How can he be the perfect example to all human beings? He's an Arab. So he's not an Arab, brothers and sisters. Oh, now they want to tell you, well, he came in this world in Islam. Nah, that's right. You can use the word Islam because it don't exist in the Quran. It's Al-Islam. A-L-Al. It means the religion. So the Quran says that here it is, he's not Arab. Here it is, he don't know any religion. Why? Because Al-Islam wasn't written. Al-Islam didn't come into existence, so there's no way he could have been in Al-Islam. Well, brother, he's a Muslim. Oh, yes, he was. Thank you. You learned. He's a Muslim. So is you. No, I'm not. I'm a Christian. You're a Muslim. I'm Jewish. You're a Muslim. Oh, brother, I'm a Hindu. You're a Muslim. Well, I'm white. You're a Muslim. Well, I'm a skinhead. You're a Muslim. I'm a Ku Klux Klan. You're a Muslim. We can't change the nature of the human being. So the prophet was a Muslim in his nature. Every human being that comes to the womb is a Muslim. It submits to the will of God. Oh, you're a big head, don't. Then I just tell you your vital organs submits to the will of God. It's a Muslim. Your nature submits to the will of God. That's your nature. Your flesh, brothers and sisters. Yes, that's material substance. You can stoop low down there with the animals of your flesh. But the animals can't come up to your nature. The angels can't come up to your nature. And nor can the jinn. Why? We are human beings. That's what makes us different than everything in existence. However, that head can stoop down and be a dog, be a cat, a rat, a pig. You name them all those names. But no animal can come up and be a human being. No angel could be a human being. They created, they got a job to do what? Right. The jinn cannot come up and be a human being. It's a creature with a lot of things he can do in society, but he cannot come up and be a human being. That's why that jinn don't like you. That devil don't like you. Because we are the Khalifa. We are the rulers of the whole entire earth. But we don't teach our children this. So therefore, Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace upon him, what was he, Murad? He was an upright human being in his nature. Got it? So this myth, Arabs taking little girls and burning them alive until they die because they was a curse. They practiced idol gods. And yes, Christianity and Judaism existed, but the prophet never accepted any of that. He was acting in his nature. Go get me a little girl, 9, 10, 15, as long as she had a menstrual. Let her have a baby. Don't teach her nothing. Watch her act in her nature. She's not educated. She ain't go to no school. No mother taught her, but she's pregnant. Watch her handle that baby. Why? Because she's a Muslim. Now, that's just a metaphor how men operate in the world when they're in their nature. The prophet was in his nature. So God said 40 years. He went 40 years in a lifetime. Then he chose him. Because why? He never got out of his nature. Think about it. And maybe you will get it straight. I have the same heart you have. And a female can touch that heart, just like that first child, just like that second child, just like that third child, that fourth child. And some of y'all have 10 children. There's not one comes before the other than how they came out the womb. But that fifth child could be better than all of them. How about the last child, like Joseph? And this is all in the Quran. This is all in the Bible. Didn't I just told you that everything in the Bible is not bad? But God only changed what they say, what God said, and it's not true. So Jesus had to be born so he can take down the fig tree. Cut that fig tree down. But fig only means knowledge. Seeds is what you plant so it can grow. The tree is knowledge. So they want to stop the Jews from multiplying, but they need Jesus. That's why they don't like Jesus today. But that's the will of God. So you got to look at this girl. It's good news. And see the connection with the human person, the mortal person. That's it. Good news. Muhammad the Prophet brings you good news. Bashir Maroon Medadine Kuh. We have to understand that we don't need angels to lead us, brothers and sisters, but the Prophet brings good news. So we don't have to have an angel to lead us, but a mortal man of flesh and blood, love of a woman, having sex, making babies, loving that woman and children, that's the man that should lead us, not an angel. That's the man. And when you want God, God wants us to understand. In his creation, he was going to make the kind of creation that will allow us to understand it and not get upset, because we get very upset and we don't understand why we was created a man, why we was created a woman, why we was created men, man or woman, whether we were created ugly, whether we was created beautiful, whether we was created tall or short, fat or skinny, intelligent, unintelligent, why did God create us? See, the jinn, they do not think as a mortal creature. I was trying to explain, they don't do that. They're not trustworthy, and they shouldn't be trusted. But the jinn, Satan, told Allah that we should not be trusted, that we should not have this responsibility, but we came from mud and dirt. But see, what Satan didn't know, because God said to Satan, I know what you know and know what you don't know. God made this creation human, a human, to be Adil. Look it up. You'll find out. They tell us about it. It's like a beautiful woman. Adil. It's like a beautiful woman. It's person with the beautiful innocence and a kind of look remind you of a young angel at Israel. But Muhammad the prophet even thought all of his thoughts was human. He was Israel in his nature. The jinn was overcome by Prophet Muhammad. But he was a Muslim. They couldn't overcome him, but they tried. The question was asked to Muhammad, do you have the jinn in you? He said, yes. My jinn became a Muslim. Good news for a mortal. You can be a good in your behavior, and you can be a jinn in your behavior. At the same time, be human, even though you are troubled by the jinn. Because he's going to trouble you, brother and sister. You can be devoted and so sincere in God's will in you. When you got the will of God in you, you can be sincere. You can be devoted to angels. And your jinn will become a Muslim. That's what happened to the prophet. It's the jinn in you. Can we make the jinn Muslim? Yes, if you're sincere. If you're devoted, yes. God has given us a standing that we have to reflect on. But he gave us a perfect example of a mortal, of a human being, person, Prophet Muhammad. This is why we don't want to study and understand the seal of the prophet. God is a mercy to all human beings. God said, Kuh Muhammad, Kin Mahmu Allah. He is talking to all of us, not just to Muhammad. Kuh Muhammad. He's talking to all of us. Are you listening to Allah, believe in Allah, and follow his messenger, Muhammad? Allah with love, and all of us, he will love us. If you will raise up from that sin, he, God, will forgive us of all our sins, our faults. God is most merciful and most forgiving. Prophet Muhammad said, you will not enter the gates of heaven, paradise, until you have faith. Until you have faith. More important, you must practice faith. Whoa, having faith and not practicing faith stands for nothing. In Islam, practicing faith, everything you believe, you must practice. We must see that in our reflection. We must see that in our behavior. We must see that in what Muhammad the Prophet represented and what is telling us in the Holy Quran. We have to reflect on the things that we say we believe. You can't just believe it, brothers and sisters, and not perform. This is why I like to come on the radio, Blog Talk Radio, New Africa, Excellent Enterprise, Mirage Speaks. I talk to you all out there. Girl, there are certain people that listens to me. And if they stood on Mount Evan and knew my strength and taught my strength, it reminds me of Samson. See, Delilah told those kings that give her 10 pieces of gold. Y'all can't beat Samson. It's one man. I'll get him. Sit me out there. Allow me to, with my silk and my perfume. Yeah, they said right. And Samson came in there, and she threw herself to Samson, and Samson fell in love with her. And they was laying up for many times, over and over. But one night, she pushed him away. Oh, Samson, tell me your strength. He said, I don't know. Only one knows my strength is God. So she wouldn't let him have him no more. Well, that got him. She said, if you love me, Samson, you would tell me your strength. He told her, said, my hair. Now, brother and sister, are you that immature you really thought it was his hair? Okay, it was his hair. And she had him. He went to sleep. So she brought the enemy in because she said, don't harm him. Now, the hair on his body, they promised her that because she loved that man. And he got up to fight. He was weak and realized all his hair was cut off. And to make a long story short, she wanted to go see her, and he was pulling the wheel. Only horses can do that, but he was pulling the wheel by himself. And she swung her dress by and showing him her legs, but he couldn't see it. Why? He was blind. She was upset. You told me you wouldn't touch him. Yes, they didn't. They put fire so close to his eyes that he couldn't see no more. So he felt she was a devil, but she had to go see him. She didn't care. And he wanted to kill her, but he couldn't get past those chains. She jumped in his arms. See how powerful that female is? She jumped in his arms, not because she wanted to take him down, because she loved him. She ain't run from him. Jumped in his arms. He wanted to kill her, but he couldn't do it. She said, Samson, I'll help you take down all of them. Whoa. You want to take down the puller. And she didn't want to leave. Them puller going down and Samson going to die. She died with him. Oh, that woman is bad. Don't tell me about no female. But what is the moral of the story? The moral story, hair represents strength. You got hair on your arms because your arms are strong. You got hair around your testicles, brothers, because why? Life comes out of there. It's strong. You got hair on your head. What it represents? Knowledge. You got hair growing in your nose. Why? It breathes in and breathes out. Now the brothers wearing hair all over their face because it represents wisdom. So it's all hair. But it wasn't hair. His strength was his faith in God. So they had to paint a physical sign or you wouldn't have gotten it. It's the strength that he had for his Lord, and he separated himself and did things that he ought not to do, so he got weak. Yeah, so that's one female that made him weak. But she didn't make him weak because that's what she wanted to do. She wanted Samson to love her. So I'm a student of Imam Wallace D. Muhammad. And Wallace D. Muhammad said, don't you ever think that our mother, Eve, Adam, to eat from that tree. No, she didn't. And how do we come to that conclusion? We come to that conclusion because when we men go to Hajj, we got to unstrip and just put enough on to cover our privacy. So none of us can know who's next to us, whether you're a doctor or a lawyer or just one off the street. Whether you're educated or uneducated, poor or rich, we all have to put on the same clothes. Came in the world naked. But the women don't have to do that. And you wonder why the woman don't have to do it, but it said after you go through those rituals, it's not accepted until you make it to Arafat. And Arafat represents you must put your culture back on. Now, why didn't the female have to go through that? Because she didn't curse the world. You did, buddy. Now, don't misconstrue. Adam slipped. How did he slip? Simple. Satan whispered in his ear and said, you know, Adam, you can help God by doing this on your own. And he thought he was helping God, but God told him not to eat from that tree. Now, why did they pick a tree? Because it was an apple. An apple is sweet, brothers and sisters. So it was a lie sugarcoated with the truth. He was showing God, I can get this bird to operate on his own when you told him not to do it. So God told you not to do wrong. You did it anyway. So Allah put Adam out of heaven, sent him down with the jinn, and he said, well, everyone, we came down together to be tested. Isn't that amazing? From the cradle to your grave. So Samson lost from the moral of God. So it happened. But you can't blame that female. I don't care who you are. You can't blame her. But she wants a man. And she thought she was a man. Come to find out, you was a weak man. And you just go for everything. Don't care who it is. I've been around when a woman say, hey, I know what you're getting ready to do. Just remember where your home is. I used to didn't understand that, but I said, well, that's a bad woman. I wasn't interested, but they said, listen, you may fall victim, but I'm going to be here for you. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Adamin. So you can never, brother and sister, say that you practice faith. Because a lot of us don't want to practice faith. But you have to practice faith in order to be faithful. So you would never, ever practice faith until you practice love. Wow. Until you practice love. Isn't that amazing? So therefore, faith is just words. If you can't practice love, love for your wife, love for your community, love for your children, love for others, you don't practice love, you don't have faith. So to provide one and know they are faithful is to see the love they have for others. It is the love that they express, the love of God and the love of what he approves of, and the love of the humans. The human beings. You don't love the human beings, brothers and sisters. It's not just loving the Italians or just loving the Irishmen or just loving the African Americans. Love the human beings, God is saying to us. Love the creation of your intelligence, of your group. You should love one another in your group. Because everyone got an area. This masjid over here, this masjid over there, this community over there is where you should love your group. Love others in your group. Yes, we should practice love on each other. That's important. Because there's a situation going on right now. It's never going to happen until you practice love for each other. Now, don't fault me. Now, I'm going to start first. When it comes good, I'm going to beat you like a race. All that which is good. Because that's God. That's what gets you in paradise. God said you all are the best community brought out for all people. We are the best community, brothers and sisters. What is God saying? Look at what God is saying. Why is us, our community is called the best community? Because you are qualified to be the best community. You believe in the best situation. You should be able to stand up in your standing to provide the standards for other people. You are truthful to provide standards for the best of the human society. We are the best, brothers and sisters. This is God talking. It's not me. We have to stand against the worst doings, the worst values, the worst behavior, the worst standing that we are emptying of what God had created us. We're being the best community brought out for all the people of the world. We are the creator to be excellent and obedient to God, to have faith in God. God says the people of the book means the Jews and the Christians. Many of them believe. Most of them, brothers and sisters, this is the truth. Many of them believe and many of them corrupted. What God said 2,000 years ago doesn't not change. What God said 1,400 years ago do not change. Why would God change his words? The Quran does not change. For you may say to yourself, why are we obeying the Quran? Well, let's see what the prophet's wife said. Aisha, not the first one because she passed. I'm talking about the second one. Aisha, when she was a young girl and he passed, what did she say? Who is your husband, Aisha? She said, my husband is a human walking Quran. So that means our nature is the Quran. The Quran's been here all the time. You just didn't know how to live it. And then couldn't define it. Read. Read in the name of your Lord, Muhammad. Read what? It was a piece of paper, then his man. It was ink on that paper, it was a man. Read in the name of your Lord that created. You read your internal organs. Allah created it. And if you get in tune with your internal organs, you'll be a better person in the world. Yes, you will. Because what? That's God's creation. You know, now that we have joined communities together, Emmanuel Willis D. Muhammad and Minister Louis Farrakhan, we're one community. But I used to hear Musaf for his son, he used to say, hey, God, anybody else will faint. They would fall because he called one God. But we used to follow from that. And out of not knowing, we call him God. But isn't it amazing to say, I'm Master Farad Muhammad, who came in a person of God. But you took it literally because everything you read is literally, is not literally. If it was, then you've given it to man. There's no Arabic in the Quran. The Arabs got their language. The Italians have their language. The Latinos have their language. The Africans got so many different type of languages. So all these thousands of languages, God says, I need nothing from you. Man, I created my heavens and the earth, and I need nothing from my creation. So God don't need nothing from us. So how are you going to put error on the Quran? No such thing. But Arabs had to learn the language. But Allah was so merciful and made it so close that you don't know what they say it to you because you never studied it. But I'm quite sure you understand this English. And if we would talk more English to the people like Muhammad the Prophet had to do, because the Quran, they didn't know it. They were practicing idol gods. They was doing all despicable things, walking around the Kaaba butt naked. But he spoke to them in the language in which they understood, Arabic. Because he knew that language. Hell, you got brothers that can speak Spanish very well. Why? Because they grew up in the Latino community. They had to go to school for it. So he taught them in their language. Today, we learn God's language. We learn God's language, and we speak to the world in God's language, and they don't know what the hell you're talking about. Why, brother, you're showing off. You're showing off. I just got to say it. It's real. You're showing off. How is it that I can bring 1 million people to me? How is it that I can put up 12,000 people in the Night of Power outside and men from all parts of the country leading prayer from 10:30 in the evening to 5 in the morning? How is it that I can bring brothers together and we built our in a picture in a hot where we had 22,000 people in Newark, where we had 34,000 in Union County? How is it we can do that? How is it that 100,000 people this year showed up in a dream that I had and been working on for 2 years, 100,000 Muslims bowing down inside our prayer? How could I do it? Because when you have faith in Allah and you trust in Allah and you practice it and you show love and affection for other human beings, oh, Allah will give it to you. So I, Muhammad Elijah Muhammad, may Allah be pleased from Grand Paradise, he said, money. And I had none of that until I went to the world. Good home. Homes all over this country. And friendship in all walks of life. Brother, yes, Rabbi. They know you in Israel. They do. Yes. I need you to tell them that how close to you and I am, who I'm talking to. You don't speak English too much, but they know you here. Yes, ma'am. Red moment. I said, yes. You know Rabbi Ibrahim. You know Rabbi Ibrahim. I said, yes, I do. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, Milan. Thank you, Murad. I can't make this stuff up. Rain, yes. Rabbi, how are you? It's 12 o'clock midnight. I'm shocked you answered the phone. I said, oh, I'll be up reading. What are you doing? Teaching. Wow. You teaching it? Yes. That's what I do. I'm a rabbi. They said, that's amazing. Most of us are partying. Most of us not even studying. Most of us don't even care about our family. What can I do for you, Rabbi? I heard you on the radio. I said, yesterday? Yes. I said, I was on for 2 hours. Yes. Me, my wife, and my children listen to you. Keep it up. You're doing a wonderful day. Now, brothers and sisters, that could have been my own brother, my own sister. How about my Islamic brother? See how Allah says you accolades to keep doing what you're doing. Now, all I realized and I found out that we are talking to the spirit and we're talking to the emotions of the people. These people are intellectual. If you don't give them no food of thought, they're going to just bypass you. So I reiterate. God says what he said 2,000 years ago doesn't change. And what he says that's correct 1,400 years ago does not change. So the Quran is consistent. It's in our nature. It's in our nature, brothers and sisters. So today, 2019, soon to be 2020, many of the men of the book, many of them, believe. And the majority of them are corrupt. Doesn't change. I thank you for listening, and I shall return to Salah on Monday, and I do 2 hours. I go from 7 to 9. Sometimes I count it, I'll cut it to 8:30. And the reason being is we had commercials that been offering us the time to come on the air. I'm the type of person that I like them, and I will let them come on. And I'm preparing to always leave at least 15 minutes for commercials. Nevertheless, I will not give commercials unless I have consistency. And consistency meaning that all of my hours are full with qualified, bona fide men and women. I would never leave my women behind. Our women are very well and consistent in doing what they need to do. But I also want to, my brother Musa Abui, everyone knows him by Imam Musa Muslim Abui, but he's the great-great-grandson of Booker T. Washington, very educated family, academics is unbelievable. And he looks out for his father, great-grandfather of the state. Used to be Tuskegee Institute, but the Caucasians changed it to Tuskegee University. He prays he can turn that back around. However, he's a scholar in his writing, and we want him to do more writing for the Muslim Journal because they need someone with his skills. And we want to do a story on the 60th anniversary because we can never forget and we salute Dr. Abdullah Majid Kareem Hassan, and he is over top of that masjid called Abdullah Majid Kareem Hassan Islamic Center. 60 years, him and his brother, Abdul Kareem Hassan, as his older brother, we on it. And sold out crowd we had there in Connecticut and
he gave me the opportunity to be over top of that masjid and see them to go where they ought to be on another level. Now, I'm good at that. And I have a lot of love. The sisters up there have a great love for me. His wife have a great love for me. And the brothers that's been there for years. And my job is to unite all of Connecticut. And I'm not going to maintain that as my home. It'll be a home away from a home. And they got some very qualified brothers there, and Shakur, and you got Michael there, his son, and you got Yusuf, former Captain Joseph, and his man Yusuf. That was our captain, and we all loved him. His son's there, Ibn. And you got a few more brothers that can fill in. My job is to bring into fruition what Dr. Hassan asked me to do. I'm so elated that all the brothers around his bedside, and he just said, give it to Murad, he will lead you out of here. He never thought we would sell out. We did just that, sold out, and told him before he passed that we have one problem, where we're going to put all the overflow. And he left here with a smile on his face saying, I can now leave knowing that we're going to grow, which we're supposed to always look to do better than what we did yesterday. So we thank Mr. Louis Farrakhan and Mustafa, who came in and did a wonderful job and spoke very well. And Damiel Kareem, who flew in, wanted to be a part of the history, and he loved what Mustafa said. More important, he used to have Mustafa in his home, raised him like he was his son. He called him Uncle Damiel Kareem. And the oldest imam in age is Dr. Hassan's brother from California. I remember when Jackie came to visit me. That was a good one. I was talking to his wife because she said, where is that young lady? I said, well, she came in because she wanted to see me, and she had on a nice leather outfit. I'll never forget, a black leather outfit, but didn't come down to her ankles. So she went down to be with the mother, came running back. I was getting dressed, and she said, they got long dresses on. I said, aren't you a Christian? She said, yeah, you dress wherever way you want to dress. You look good to me going back down. So she did, but it was her words. It was like coming home to a family unit that she didn't know nothing about this family. Yeah, she was so happy, and she, the wife treated her, Debbie treated her so wonderful that she never will forget it. And I think it really touched her heart. And so I spoke that night, and one of the professors got up and said, I didn't know too much about Ellis Mount until I heard Raj speak. My God, that man can speak. And we made the front page there that time. They flew me into be their guest speaking. Well, he's the oldest, building a beautiful, gorgeous masjid. But just what the imam told him, I want to duplicate that around the country. That masjid is so beautiful. And they have their time to be grateful with the sister that I love so dearly, Sister Aisha Mustafa. And so I called the community and spoke to Akbar Muhammad. He said, Murad, you can't let the fire burn. Let's go buy that place out. I said, that's good news. So I brought them good news. They already sold over 500 people, so they had about three more. I said, I want them all. I want all of them. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to pack these arenas with any arena out there. We're going to get the arena on the day that they're not doing nothing. And that's how my prediction is to raise $100 million. Now, there's a lot of do's and don'ts that we're not going to be a part of, but my job is to help our community to be able to build our own schools, our own homes, and our own businesses, and more important, pay our teachers. Our children go to school for free. Teachers be making at least $100,000 and able to get their benefits. Yes, we can do it. It's 1 million of us. Why we can't? And so that's my aim and my purpose. I can honestly say to you, oh, I've been working on this for 25 years, and I wanted to build my own Nielsen ratings. And in order to do that, I got to have many people. And I believe I got 1 million, and soon it'll be 2 million. So we don't have to worry about no Nelson or Neeson, whatever the raised name want to be. We got our own readings, and we can make anybody the bestseller. We can make a bestseller because we got 1 million people. If we can turn on any show, we can make anyone large. We can make any show large because there's 1 million of them. And if you mistreat us, then we will send you a letter, not no text, not no email. We'll pay and buy that stamp that says Harriet Tubman, and put that black stamp on there and send you 1 million mails that got to come by the mail truck because it's federal and delivered. And I don't care if each one of them say, hell no, we're not taking this anymore. That's the way we're going to move. I don't march on nobody. I'm a crack driller and a crack drill instructor, and I know how to call cadence. I know my left and my right. I know when to move, when I'm commanded to move, and I don't move unless one tells. Pray, rest, you sit there. I don't care if flies flying around. You don't move until you say, it is, and you do what you want. Like the Bible says, your head in the sky. You stay in Qiyam, and you beg in Allah. You say, Allahu Akbar. Yes. And then you do your rock eyes and go down to Sajjah and put that nose that my father would breathe into his nostril on that rug, on that floor. Wherever you can be outside on the earth, and nose touch the earth, that forehead touch the earth. And then when that happens, brothers and sisters, then you're making fajr. You are submitting to the will of Allah. Alhamdulillah, revealed out of me. If I say anything to make you stand up in your soul, stand up in your spirit, stand up in your deen and the future, if I made you be able to stand up in your God conscious, your taqwa, the first thing that reaches God, don't give me any of that credit. That's not why I come on the radio for. I try to give back that which God gives to me and give it to you so clear and plain so you can see for yourself. Go back in there. I will leave you with this. Get everything out of your head that's physical. When you see Moses and Aaron, that's you. When you see Abraham and his followers, that's you. When you see Jesus and the 12 disciples, that's you. When you see Muhammad the prophet, prayers, peace, upon him, that's you. And the only reason why we say assalamu alaikum because it comes from the Quran. Now they want you to say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, but that is not in the Quran. It's there, but it's for the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Now what makes us different than us? Because we are trying to halal that jinn. That jinn is in the Prophet, but he made his jinn Muslim. I can't tell you my jinn is Muslim, but he's a sympathizer. I'm working on him. Yes, we all commit sin. For Allah says in the Quran, if there's a group of people that did not commit sin, he will erase you from this earth and replace it with one that was sin. Because that's the only time you go to God. You go to God when you're sick. When you go to God when you think you're dying. When you go to God, when you're broke and can't pay your bill, every time you do something that you can't get done, then you come to God. So when you sin, you have to go to God. He's most merciful and all forgiving if you beg him. So if you only but know, they say, rush to Juma. Why Allah has asked you to rush? There's nothing compulsory, so why he tell you to rush? But he say, if you only but know, you will rush to Juma. Because when you come to Juma, everything is erased from you that you have done from the last Juma. Oh, so it's amazing. I'm clean. Yep. Purity. Yep. You have no sin on you. So now Saturday is another day. And you're going to sin. You say, well, I didn't commit a physical sin. Nah, you've committed a thought that was sinful. Allah knows your thought before you even think it. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, Rabbi Amin. I greet you from our brother, our father, Adam. Our father, Adam. And the son of Adam is Abraham, but he's the father. He's the father of the intellectual mind and all nationalities. I greet you from Jesus Christ. Christ means Muslim. And you Christians that's listening to me, remember when Jesus came about, there was no religion. There was no Christianity. So you cannot give Jesus or any of the prophets a religion. Was not. Muhammad the prophet, seal of the prophet, was given that. That's what made him the seal. And we give him the excellent suit because when you salute him, you salute all the prophets. Now, I know there's seven of them that we talk about, whether it's Jesus, whether it's Joseph, whether it's Moses, whether it's Abraham, whether it's Lot, or any one of them. But there was thousands you don't know about. So when you say, may the peace and blessing be upon Prophet Muhammad, Ibn Abdullah, the son of Abdullah, you greet all of them. See how merciful God is? Oh, he's such a merciful God. So we say, assalamu alaikum, rahmatullah, that's the angel. You turn to your right. Assalamu alaikum, rahmatullah, you turn to your left. Assalamu alaikum, rahmatullah. But the angel on the right goes with you to the day of judgment. Allah created them. He said, I didn't create you angels to be here for yourself. I created you to serve my human beings. Whoa. So God was thinking of us when he created the angel. He was thinking of us when he created the jinn. So Allah gives the angels to assist us. And he gives the angels to assist us, the angels to assist us, and the jinn to assist us. Now, people say, wait a minute, the jinn is Satan. No, go back and read. There's a few people that call jinn that followed Iblis, just like you will. But Allah says in the Quran, there's a group of jinns that heard a beautiful recital. No jinn, no man can ignore that recital. Those are the jinns. Read about Solomon. He can talk to the angels. He can talk to the jinn. He can talk to the birds. He talks to the ants. Ah, you should read about. I love that prophet for the things that he was capable of doing and no one else was able to do. Oh, Allah is most merciful. So when there's a janazah, we don't greet the left. The one on the left takes you to hell. He writes everything that's in the dark. It won't come to the light of understanding. Now, they don't have to because you can beg Allah to forgive all the way to your grave and Allah will erase it. And you don't have to request it. But if you don't erase it and you leave here being in hell, and you leave here, oh, I know, you say, well, how about the Jews and the Christians, they're the men of the book. You say they believe. Yes, they do. There's no burden on them. Oh, you Jews, Christians, Sabbaths, will be no burden. You believe in one God, and the hereafter Allah will not put a burden on you because you didn't accept Islam while you live. But didn't I just told you, brother, sister, that Al-Islam is the nature, the Quran is the nature. So that's why Allah don't have no burden on you. If you choose a religion, that's your choice. Be a good one. That's all he asks you to do. Believe in one God. Believe in one God. Allah needed no religion. The nature was the religion. It was peace. Peace on earth. It was peace on earth. So Islam is peace. That's why Islam equal is sufficient. If you only knew what it meant. Thank you for listening to Ma. You hear Dr. O. She's broadcasting. She's in Africa. We thank her for being a part of the excellent enterprise. Enterprise, where I speak. We come to you 7 days a week, 52 weeks out of the year. I am Murad Muhammad. Peace and blessings. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. I reiterate, we have one thing to be thankful. We are all alive. So have faith and believe by showing much love for your family, your relatives, your neighbor, your block, your city, your state, your country. Practice faith. And practicing faith allows you to be who we are. We are the best community brought out for all that is good, that evolves for all mankind. Thank you.